Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you this holy Shabbat and this time that you have set apart for us. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins. We ask, Father, that you lead us and guide us, Father. And, Father, above all things, thank you for loving us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Kol Shavah Yisrael. Oh, blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Welcome to Blog Talk. Bible 101, it's your brother Dave Well, and Isaac Ken is out of town right now. He'll be back next week. So I'm stepping in for him today. Am I supposed to add this on? Okay. The title of today's lesson is Israel Beloved. We've been going through a little bit of pain, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache with events that didn't happen. And I done heard a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of doubt. You know, did Yahweh leave us? And what did we do wrong? And all kinds of things that came out. But through the midst of all that, Yahweh needs us to understand that we are his beloved. No matter what we go through, he loves us. You know, that don't change. We are the apple of his eye. We have to go through hardships. We have to go through these struggles. It's a part of life. You know, one of the things that Yahushua said, he says that in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you have peace. Because I've overcome this world. So, all the things that we go through is just a reminder to us where our peace is. You know, where we should turn our eyes back to. But it's human for us to feel the way that we feel. And it's okay for us to feel that way. You know, it's all right for us to feel that Yahweh has left us for a moment, because He has no issue in proving himself. He has no issue in turning your mind back to him and turning your hearts back to him as long as your heart is willing. So have those things. We said it's a time for appointed under the season, under the sun for everything. You know, it's a time for all the stuff he named. It's a time to doubt. But then also there's a time to be certain. He gave the positive and the negative. He said it's a time to get away from the stones, loose the stones, and it's a time to gather the stones. He wants us to experience the good and the evil. Has to. We don't like to experience the evil. It's painful for us. But there's things that in the evil that we have to learn from. All right? So, in all that, we can't lose sight on the fact that we are beloved. We are, he calls Israel his firstborn. You know? So we're going to start off in the book of Mark, chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1. And it reads, "And he began to speak unto them, a certain man planted a vineyard, and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent on another servant at him, and sent unto them another servant. And at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the master of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold of him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way." So Yahushua, dealing with these Pharisees, dealing with Israel, spoke this parable about them, about a vineyard that was given to him, a vineyard that was built, and this vineyard was real nice, and it produced stuff, and it was lent out to these husbandmen. And then when he sent servants to collect from the vineyard, they killed them. They mishandled the servants' farm. And these Pharisees in Israel understood that this parable, he was talking about them. And they wanted to kill the Messiah. So where did the Messiah get this idea from to even speak a parable like this? That because a lot of the parables that he spoke, they didn't get. But this one was directed towards them, and they understood this one completely. So where did he get this idea from? Of Isaiah in chapter 5. starting at verse 1, will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. So this is where he's giving them this parable, and this is how they understand. You know, they understood exactly what Mashiach was saying to you. Y'all were supposed to be producing something good that I can collect from. You're my well-beloved, you know. You're my well-beloved, Israel. But for some reason, y'all went this way and y'all went that way. Y'all not producing what I'm looking to get produced. But still, you're my well-beloved. That don't change, right? He says, verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? I set up this vineyard, cleared out a space, put a tower up it, fenced it to protect it, got all the rocks and anything that could hinder the growth of my vineyard. I put people there to watch over my vineyard, the husbandmen. It's well, and on top of that, I picked out a great place for it. He said it was among fertile ground. So it was supposed to produce something. I've done everything I possibly could for this vineyard. Why? I love you that much. I love my vineyard that much. So judge between I'm handling this vineyard and how you handling this vineyard. How are you handling me, Israel? Are you trying to put that tower up to protect me? Are you trying to hedge me up? Are you trying to stop anything that will stop the growth between me and you, the rocks, the thorns, the thistles? Are you, what are you doing? Judge between us, you know, because you are my well-beloved. You are. I look to you like no other, Israel. He says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Same thing Yahushua said. What's going to happen when the master of the vineyard come back? Is he not going to destroy it? Why? You're not producing anything for me, Israel. You're still my well-beloved, but I need you to do right by me. You know? The love that the Most High has for us, even through hard times, that don't change. But he still needs us to do right by him. Mourn, grieve, sorrow, do what you got to do. But you still got to do right by the Most High at the very end. He establishes order. The order don't switch. It don't stop. It just keeps on going. He understands our feelings. He understands our compassion. He understands all of that. Do what you need to do to get back on track. Right through it. Where you say, gird up your loins like a man. That's what you say. Like a man ready for battle. Gird up your loins, Israel. It's okay to pain, okay to grieve. Do that. It's a time appointed for that. But the show don't stop. Feel like the Most High left you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Because the same way that you're feeling this way now, you done felt the opposite in the past. You done felt that there was, when the same way you felt separation, you felt closeness. You know, He needs you to experience all this. Why? You're going to be like me. That's the end result. I love you that much. I want you exactly on my well-beloved. He says, and now go to, and I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and shall be trodden down. I will lay it to waste, verse 6. I will lay it to waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. So he was looking for you to produce these good things. But like he said, I'm looking for these good grapes, but I'm getting sour grapes. I'm getting wild grapes, you know. I'm looking for you to produce judgment. But what do you say? Oppression. Fast forward to the time of the Messiah. That was his issue. That was his issue. Y'all taking advantage of the poor. You're oppressing people. You got the kings to the kingdom, and you ain't getting in, and you ain't letting nobody else in. That's oppression. Looking for you to judge righteously. They had issues, Mashiach, when they're, oh, y'all in here, y'all got false scales and this, that, and another. You're not balancing right. You're not judging correctly. You're not being right. He had issues with that. Israel never changed. They were still producing wild grapes, still not producing what the Most High wanted. But guess what? Well beloved. To the point where he said, I'm going to send my son for you. And he sent them for the world by sending them to you first, Israel. You're my well beloved. Questions or comments so far? All right. So again, we was going through, like I said, we was going through some stuff. And I myself even said that, you know, in my quiet time, I talked to Ava and I told him, Ty, don't want to do this no more. Sick. I just want my easy life back. And you have all these challenges when, you know, I wasn't serving you. Life was so much easier. I'm tired of crying. I'm tired of all this pain and this, that, and another. I said that. I can't talk for everybody, but I know what I said. Right? I know how I feel. I didn't say it on a couple of times where I just want to give up. I don't want to teach no more. I didn't said that. But it shouldn't be a time. And like I said, it's still okay for me to feel that way. I'll feel that way and I'll admit it. I can't hide it from him. He knows how I'm feeling. So it's okay to feel that way. But at the same time, you know, I had to read something. He brought something to my attention that, you know, made me think about other things. It's Psalms chapter 84, you know. Because, like I say, we feel this one way, but we also feel the opposite. What about those other times when I'm feeling good because Yahweh using me? Do we just kick all that out just because I'm in this rut? The Most High showed me his presence, and I know it's him. Well, I don't even have to guess or anything like that. So what about those times? You know, because he brings all that to mind, and he needs you to remember these things, you know. Because you got to get out that rut. You got a job to do. You said that you would do this job. It's not, okay, DOL, you do this and that's it. I could have said no. The choice was mine to make. I said, yes, I'll do it. Fine. You signed up. You got to do the job. Ain't no quitting. You might want to quit, but ain't no quitting. You might feel like you don't want to go on, but ain't no quitting, you know. But this right here, when I read this, it stirred up some stuff. He says, Psalms 84, starting at verse 1. He says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a song for the sons of Korah. Now, we know this song is specifically for the priests. Korah was one of the lines of the priests, right? He says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts. How beautiful, how beloved. That word amiable in the Hebrew is the same word for beloved. How beloved are your tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts. This is something that when David wrote this, priests, understand this. You have a beautiful job. To love the tabernacles. You're supposed to love the service of Yahweh. You're supposed to, and especially with Korah, because I believe Korah was the ones who handled the actual furnishings. You know, they wasn't the ones that broke the tabernacle down or had to carry it. They had to carry the actual menorah and this, that, and other. So they went into places and saw things that all the priests didn't get a chance to see. Every priest didn't carry the table of showbread. Every priest didn't carry the menorah. Every priest didn't carry the ark, you know. Every priest didn't do that. So this particular line of priests, love your job. And that goes for every priest, you know. Love the fact that Yahweh has He has taken you and put you in this position where you serve him, where you are. All the Israel is like this, but the priests are a little bit like this. You're just a little bit closer, you know, because I need you to lead my people. And sometimes we get into this rut, we get into this thing where we don't want to, and that's just other matter. Our flesh raises up. It does, you know. But you still have to keep on going. You have to still keep on going. Why? You're beloved. You're beloved. Father, forgive me for feeling that way. I felt that way, and I broke down and I cried and I told him, I'm sorry. I felt that way, and I feel that way from time to time. Life is hard, you know. He allows these come to you to see how you react, to see how you're going to react. And that's why, to see how you're going to react. Are you going to, please say, what's the old pressure bust pipes or make diamonds? The same pressure that used to flood your house is used to make a diamond, one of the hardest, strongest materials on this planet, you know. That's what it does. How are you going to react in these different situations? Are you going to run and hide, or are you going to gird your loins up like a man? Because you're my well-beloved. I never leave you. I never forsook you. But this is a lesson you have to learn. This is some pain you're going to have. He says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a song for the sons of Korah, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living El. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thy altars. O Yahweh of hosts, my King and my mighty one, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, whose passing through the valley of Baca, make it well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion, appearing before Elohim. You go from strength to strength. You get strong, you get weak, but you get strong again. You go from strength to strength. I got you, Israel. You're my well-beloved. The same way your child, well, he fall. First reaction, go run, pick him up. Mm-mm. I'm getting up on my own, Dad. He gets to that point where he can stand by himself. Why? I'm strong enough now. You know? The first reaction for a father, child parent, when a child, oh my goodness, my child might be hurt. I got it. Because they fall and they go boom. And it's always that little pause. Because you're looking at me like, do I need to go? Should I go? All right, I got to go. But then that one day comes, boom, boom, and they fall. And you look at them, and they get up and keep it moving. They went from strength to strength. I'm strong enough to endure this now. You're my well-beloved. I got you, son. Come on, come on. Don't worry about it. I got you. Whatever you need to go through, I'm going to carry you through it. I love you that much. He says, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion, before Elohim. O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O Elohim of Jacob, Salah. Behold, O Elohim, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Elohim than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahweh Elohim is a sun and a shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Yahweh, O Yahweh of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. And y'all should remember that one. That's one in our psalm book, the man that trusts in thee. Why? The ones that trust in him, they his well-beloved. Yahushua said, they said, hey, your mother and your brothers are, whoa, wait a minute. My mother and my brothers is the one who do the will of my father. They the ones that I love. They the ones that's going to be with me. They are the ones I call family. Mother and brother who do the will of my father. The rest of y'all, turn y'all, turn. Point where I can call you brother, mother. You know? Any questions so far or comments? All right. So, in the book of Psalms, chapter 60, you know, starting in verse 1, he says, to the chief musician upon Shusha den Dof, Mikton of David to teach. Now, the word Mikton, this is something that we went through when we went through the book of Psalms. That word means to engrave. It's an engraving, right? But he also said, this is to teach. This is something that he needs us to learn, and it should be engraved in our head, right? That's the purpose of this song, to teach us to the point where it becomes part of us, you know? Because when you're talking about something that's engraved, you know, it's something that's when you, it's like a scar. Some scars just never go away. They're part of you. And you remember how you got that scar, you know? He says, Mikton of David to teach, when he strove with Aram Naharamim and with Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the valley of Salt 12,000. O Elohim, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O, turn thyself to us. So he's not in a good place with this one. But it's still something that we need to learn. Right? He's feeling that way. Father, you cast us off. You scattered us. This is how he's feeling. He says, thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. You're doing this to us, Abba. You're making us go through these hardships. You know, heal us. Heal. That's his prayer. You cast us off. I don't feel you, Father. How many times have we said that at some point in our life? You're going through it. I don't feel you, Father. Where you at? I'm going through this hard stuff. Where you at? You're not leaving me or forsaking me. Where you at? I don't feel you right now, and I need you. So help me. Right? He says, thou hast a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Salah, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. Elohim has spoke in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Sukkoth. This is the that he wants us to remember. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O Elohim, which has cast us off, and thou, O Elohim, which didst not go out with our armies? In other words, Yahweh is telling you, yeah, you're going through some hard times. But guess what? Gilead, you're mine. That's a place within Israel. Manasseh, you're mine. That's a place within Israel. Judah, my lawgiver, that's mine too. Ephraim is the strength of my head. Israel, you're mine. I love you. Don't worry about these hardships that you're going through. Go through them. Go through them. He says, who will will not thou, O Elohim, which has cast us off? Who's going to bring us into this strong city? When we need a win, who's going to give us a win? Yahweh is going to give us that win. When we need to take a city, who's going to go before us? He said, and thou, O Elohim, which did not go out with our armies. When did Yahweh not go out with the armies? Only when they were screwing up. That's it. So as long as we turn back, hey, I'm there. So save us with your right hand. Save your well-beloved with your right hand. And you know, I see this, he says, verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Turn to man. Turn to the Most High. And he will direct your paths. Ain't that what the word say? He might direct it to a man, you know, who can help you. You know, because we get our answers from one another. We do. Some people might have experiences that is very helpful in whatever problem that you have. You know, when I look around this room, it's a lot. It's not that many of us in here, but it's a lot of experience right now in this room. It's a lot of knowledge in this room right now. You know, and it's not a whole bunch of us in here. But everybody brings something to the table, you know, and that's how we do it. That's how we get it done. Now, in Psalms 108, this is the other half of this psalm. You know, and that one song we just read, he was feeling down. You know, this one, he's feeling real good. And watch what he say. Starting at verse 1, Psalms 108:1. A song or psalm of David. O Elohim, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Yahweh, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O Elohim, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. Elohim has spoken in his holiness, and I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O Elohim, who has cast us off? And wilt not thou, O Elohim, go forth with our hosts? Give us help for trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through Elohim we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. So remember that. That's why he says, ingrain that into your mind. Gilead, your mind. Manasseh, your mind. Israel, your mind. I got your back. Even though you're going through troubles. You know, we read the one where he's going through troubles, and we read the one that he's feeling real good. But at the end, the result is the same. Don't forget that you're mine, Israel. You're my well-beloved. You're my beloved, my firstborn. All right? Any questions or comments? All right. Jeremiah chapter 12. Starting in verse 1. O Yahweh, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Yahweh, I know you're right in everything you do, but I need to talk to you about some stuff that's going on. Why is all these evil people prospering on this earth? Tell me why. I need to understand that. And I know good and well, everybody in here probably has said that at some time in their life. Bob, I'm trying to do right, but Jack Black over here is doing whatever, and he's doing better than me. Why is that, Abba? Why is it that these people who have no regard for you are prospering within this earth, and I'm struggling? Can you tell me, Father? You know, it's okay to do that. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay. It's fine. Have those conversations with the Most High. He'll tell you. And it's within his word. Because guess what? You ain't the first one to feel that way. Thousands of years have passed before we got on this planet. Ain't nothing changed. You know, the way we feel now was the way they felt back then. Because evil has kept on spreading. And there's always been somebody trying to do right. You know? He says, wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Why are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea. They have taken root. They grow, yea. They bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Yahweh, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart towards thee. I'm not like them. You know, this is Jeremiah's issue. All these folks out here, he said this, their mouths, they are near in their mouth and far from their reins. So they giving you lip service. You see what they're doing behind these closed doors, right? But you know me. I'm not doing that. You're trying my heart. I'm doing my best to stay on this path that you put me on. You know me. But all these folks happy, and I'm not. I need to know why. Is there something wrong? You know, what's going on? Why? Why is this like this, Father? And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I just need to know why, you know? He says, but thou, O Yahweh, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried me, my heart towards thee. Pull them up like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Get them, Father. Stop punishing me. My heart is towards you. You know that. You know, let's make it even. It's okay to feel that way because I know good and well I have. I felt that way before. Most people in here probably have felt that way before. You know, you feel like you're being taken advantage of. You feel, abused, whatever words you want to look for. You don't feel right. But these jokers out here just having a good old time and not trying to serve our Father. Like, Father, shoot a lightning bolt or something. Do something. You know, make that car catch on fire. They don't got to be in it. You feel that way. You know? Because you just feel like Yahweh's hand is on you like this, and it's free from them, and you're trying to do right. That's your feeling. And it's okay to feel that way. But he says, verse 4, he says, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are concerned and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last sin. If thou runnest with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how can thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, where thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? All right, Father, we understand that, you know, your wrath. And it's only going to get worse. That's what he's saying. If you can't run with people on feet, with regular feet, you sure enough can't run with a horse. These folks is just going to get worse and worse, and they're wearying you, you know, because he's a prophet. He gets to hear the groanings of the Most High. He gets to hear it. Go tell them that I said. Go tell them that I said. Go tell them that's the groanings of the Most High. Turn back, Israel. Turn back, Israel. Turn back, Israel. That's the groanings of the Most High. You know, and we already read how we can weary the Holy Spirit, you know, how we can vex the Holy Spirit. So there's the groanings of the Most High. And what he's saying to you, Father, they ain't going to do nothing but get worse. That's all they're going to do. That's all they're going to keep on doing. They're going to keep on stripping the planet of all its resources. They're going to keep on oppressing people. They're going to keep on not obeying you, basically, you know. So how are you going to deal with that? He says, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, and they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken my house, and I have left my heritage, and I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. I'm sick of these folks. I don't even want to deal with them no more. That's how he's feeling. I don't want to deal with these folks no more. I'm so tired of them because they lie. You know, my people's going to sit up there and they say, everything Yahweh say, we going to do. And they lied. Remember this Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the one who told them, hey, look, they say, go inquire of Yahweh for us about this whole Babylon thing. And whatever, see, he say, that's what we're going to do. He said, well, hold up. First of all, y'all lying. It don't make a difference if I tell them or not. Y'all going to do what y'all want to do. That's what y'all going to do. Same prophet. He's sick of them. He's sick of the way Israel is treating the mighty one, our mighty one. And he got tired of it to the point where he said, I'm forsaking my heritage. I don't want to be with them over there. You know, feel that way. you feel you get tired of going back and forth and contending with folks and this, that, you get tired. It shouldn't, because in our minds, we're going, shouldn't be a struggle. You know, I accepted it. Why can't you accept it? You know, that's how we're going in our minds. But it's different for every person. You know, it's different for every person. Some people, Paul was talking about the eating of meats. Some folks can eat some meat. Some folks only eat herbs. It's okay to eat all meat. It's okay to eat herbs. And that's what he says. It's fine. Some people just can't accept certain things at certain times. You know, those who are weak in the faith, those who are strong in the faith, those who are strong in the faith basically put up with those who are weak in the faith. Do that for them. And don't be a stumbling block to them. You know? But this man is sitting up here like, well, I'm sick of them. I'm sick of my brothers. I'm sick of my sisters because they're sitting up here lying. They're not going to change. Abba, what am I going to do? I'm tired of dealing with them. You called me to do this. I told you, you know my heart. I'm suffering all this humiliation. Because remember the first parable that we started off with Yahushua. The people that he was sending to him was the prophets. They were the servants. And these were the people that was treated wrong. These were the people that were beaten. These were the people that were killed. These were the people that were handled shamelessly, shamefully. You know? Jeremiah ended up in jail. We read it. He ended up in jail. Isaiah, I believe they cut him in half. They killed him. You know? Other prophets, they just shamed. They just did not want to deal to the point where they told them, prophesy to us smooth things. Lie to us. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease. That's how much we don't want to deal with him. But Israel, Yahweh still say, Israel, you're my well-beloved. I love y'all. Do all that. He says, verse 7, he says, I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. My heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore have I hated it. I'm tired. These dudes coming at me to the point where I hate them. They're looking to kill me. And I'm supposed to show them love. I can't stand them. That's how he's saying. That's what this prophet is feeling. He says, my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round it are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. Many passes have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. There were false prophets out there going up against Jeremiah, and they were believing the false prophets. So everything that my vineyard, my portion, all the stuff that I'm giving to you that's pleasant to me, these pastors then destroyed it. Stuff is welling up on them, you know? We're going to jump down a little bit. Matter of fact, we don't got to jump down. We just keep on reading. He says, verse 11, he says, they have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of Yahweh shall devour from one end of the land even unto the other of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain. They shall not profit, and they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of Yahweh. So he knows what their end result is, and he even told them their end result, and they are not listening, which causes him pain too, causes him grief. He says, thus saith Yahweh against all my evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. So, yeah, you about to go through some hard times, Judah, but guess what? I'm coming back and I'm having compassion on you sometimes because we're in the moment, you know. We go through the hard times, and the hard times are there. Yahweh said, I hurt, but I heal. I do both of these things, you know. So we just have to wait for the healing part to come. I love you. So it's like this. You understand? Man, give me a hug. We do it as parents. We do it. We don't want to hurt our child, but if they're being disobedient, they got to get popped. Tell my granddaughter that the other day. She was being hard-headed. I said, I was telling her to stop something. And she was just jumping around. But I said, you want to pop out to spank your butt? And she said, no, I don't want you to spank my butt, pop, pop. I said, well, then stop. All right, go ahead, sit down. Come here, give me a kiss. I ain't have to spank her, but she's been spanked before. And she understands, you know, I don't want to get spanked. So, come here, give me a kiss. I don't even want you to frown your face up like that. I don't like that. I don't want to bring no, I don't want to bring no pain to nobody, especially somebody that you care for. You don't. That's the truth of the matter. Yahweh don't want to punish us, but he says, because you sin, that's why I have to punish you. I don't want to. That's all you got to do is obey me or no punishment's happening. But because you're sinning, I have to punish you. I have to get you back in line because I love you. I can't have you go on this crooked path, you know. Like you said, I need you to bring forth those good grapes, not the wild ones, you know. He says, passion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. Verse 16, he says, and it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, Yahweh liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, they shall be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith Yahweh. So he was talking about some people outside of Israel at that point. But you see what he was, but see how far we was getting into. It talked about in one thing, I can't remember where it is, he talked about Jerusalem. He said, as many cities as there was in Judah, that's how many guards you had. You had a guard for every city. He said, as many streets there was in Jerusalem, that's how many altars you had. You had an altar on every street. And a lot of these altars, you were dedicated to Baal. Y'all was burning incense to Baal. That's how far Israel had got away, you know. They had got away from the Most High and just doing what they want to do, you know. Any questions or comments? All right, we're going to read this last story. And, you know, this was supposed to have been for next week, but, you know, Abba, you know, as I can go out of town, filled in. And, you know, this story right here is, Yahweh told me to read, right? 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse 1. And it's real fitting, you know, because Ahabel became a grandfather today. You know, real fitting, this story. 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse 1, says, and Yahweh sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And he grew it up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. So the rich man has a visitor. He got all these flocks and herds. He don't want to kill none of his sheep, but he takes the one ewe lamb from the poor man and he's going to use it to feed this traveler. Verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as Yahweh liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. He says, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if there had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. So whatever you wanted, Israel, because we got to understand, whatever Israel needed, whatever Israel wanted, we were supposed to turn to Yahweh. He loved us that much. I did these things for you. I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. David's name literally means love. That's what he is. I do these things for the people I love. Whatever it is you asking me, David, if that was too little, I gave you the kingdom, this, that, and that. If that was too little, just ask me. Right? He says, verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of Yahweh to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me in the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. So this is something that people are going to see when you say I'm in the sight of the sun. He says, For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. You went out and you conspired to have this man killed in secret. Because we know the story. You know, he saw Bathsheba, laid with her, lusted for her, number one, to the point where he laid with her and then had Uriah killed because she was pregnant with David's child. He impregnated her. And so he tried to get Uriah to lay with her, but he wouldn't. So he killed Uriah. He had Uriah go to the heaviest part of the battle. And he got killed. And this is the only thing that Yahweh holds against David in all his years. This is the only issue the Most High had with him. Right? He says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan said unto David, Yahweh also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme, also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So the child that he impregnated, the first child that he impregnated with Bathsheba, because of his actions, had to go. Yahweh said, I got to take this child, right? Because of something that he was lusting. Now, in no way, shape, or form am I equating this story with what happened. All right? No way. What I'm talking about is sometimes when we put something above Yahweh, and that's what we're learning with this story. When we put something above Yahweh, things like this can happen. All right? In all our lives. It wasn't the fact, because he told him, it wasn't the fact that you wanted Bathsheba. It was how you went about it. I gave you this kingdom. I anointed you. I did this, that, and another. And he said, moreover, if that wasn't enough, I would have did whatever you asked of me. She went about something in secret. It wasn't the fact that you looked at this woman. It was the way you went about going to get this woman. Right? That's what he said. Right? So, what happened was of Yahweh. Ain't nobody's fault. It's nothing to think, did I do this, did I do that, did I do this. It's of Yahweh. That's all. Right? He hurt, but he heals. Take away what we need to take away. He says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Yahweh to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. And Yahweh struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and was very sick. David therefore besought Elohim for this child. And David fasted, and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him and raised him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. But they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. Now will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servant, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of Yahweh, and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he were quiet, they set bread before him, and he did eat. So, found out the child died. Went to Yahweh while the child was alive, pleading, supplicating, trying to get the Most High to change his mind about the decision that was made. David said, okay. He accepted Yahweh's judgment. Because again, we read with Jeremiah. We might not feel it all the time. And that's a hard pill to swallow. But Yahweh judges righteously. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes when we're going through pain and hardship. Yahweh feels righteous. Everything about him is. You know? And that's something that David had to come to. That's a realization that he had to come to. Right? He says, verse 21, then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether Yahweh will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Solomon. And Yahweh loved him. So another child came forth from this. Another child came forth today. And Yahweh loved them. Why? I love David. Why? I'm going to keep on loving Israel. Yes, yeah, hardship. But my love for you don't stop. Verse 25. And he sent by the hand of Nathan, the prophet, and he called his name Yedidiah, Solomon, a special name. And that name means my beloved. That's what it means. This child that came afterwards, you know, my beloved. We had a child born today named Charlie, you know, but he came from a woman named Naomi, which was, her name means beautiful, right? Joy in that, even though we still paint, you know. Yahweh heals. All right? The Yahweh. You know? So, that's the end of the Torah portion. I mean, not the Torah portion. Blog talk. And any questions or comments about anything? All right. All right. Cole Kuhn. To you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, and all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Y'all, could you close us out, please?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.